The G20 says trade tensions could undermine the global economy. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. G20 leaders meeting in Argentina this weekend to try and head off a global trade war say risks to growth have increased. On Friday, President Trump threatened tariffs on all $500 billion worth of Chinese exports to the U.S. Last week, the International Monetary Fund projected those tariffs could reduce global output by 0.5% in 2020. The BBC's Daniel Gallas is in Buenos Aires.
The G20 summit of finance ministers warned in a joint statement that trade tensions risk undermining the global economy. But there was a lot of tension in the meeting itself. Europeans complained about U.S. tariffs being imposed on aluminium and steel. The EU Commissioner for Economic and Financial Affairs, Pierre Moscovici, warned that U.S. action is inappropriate and that Europeans are allies, not foes. The French finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, said the EU should not negotiate trade with a gun to its head. But U.S. Secretary of Treasury Steve Mnuchin tried to adopt a softer tone. He said that in upcoming talks with G7 nations, there will be efforts to drop trade barriers altogether. The G7 does not include China, so there is a hint that the U.S. is trying to isolate the world's second biggest economy. Last week, President Donald Trump suggested that the U.S. could significantly ramp up its tariffs, imposing duties on $500 billion of Chinese goods, which is 14 times more than the current amount.
Daniel Gallas, let's do the numbers. European stocks are lower this morning as trade tensions continue to hit global markets. Meanwhile, shares of Fiat Chrysler fell as much as 5% at the open after the company was forced to replace its chief executive due to health complications. Sergio Marchionne will be succeeded by Mike Manley, who headed up the company's Jeep brand. Now, in India, at least 18 people have been killed this year in a series of lynchings prompted by fake rumors of child abductions. A video spread by WhatsApp groups fueled the rumors, prompting WhatsApp to take action to limit viral messages. Currently, messages can be sent to up to 256 people at once. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more.
In India, because of the spate of these incidents that have happened and the pressure from the Indian government to crack down on misinformation and fake news, they are going to restrict it to just 5 chats per person. This is expected to come soon. They haven't announced a date yet.
How popular is WhatsApp? Because WhatsApp says that Indians forward more messages, photos and videos than any other country in the world.
WhatsApp is the main app in India used for chatting. It's estimated that around 400 to 500 million could be using WhatsApp actively every day. I get up every morning and I'll get 10 messages, good morning messages from different people. But despite this rapid growth, it has been a double-edged sword because you now see so many instances where fake news is forwarded, which people tend to believe and has led to these incidents in the past. And now it's become a worrying sign, not for only the government, but even WhatsApp, because it is receiving a lot of negative publicity.
So do you think this limit on forwarding messages will work?
Not really, because if you talk to experts, they say it's a law and order problem. And the government can't expect WhatsApp to be able to solve this issue. Yes, WhatsApp is talking about restricting the numbers, but that does not guarantee that wrong information will still not be forwarded on WhatsApp. So the government has to find a way of cracking the source that emanates from different parts of the country.
Samir Hashmi. More money comes in from streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music than comes from digital downloads or CD sales. And that's changing the way the music industry works, as the BBC's Edwin Lane reports.
This is the sound of Victors. They're a pop indie band from the UK. And like most upcoming bands, they spend their time playing gigs around the country and trying to get noticed.
I'm Harry Waterhouse, and I'm the lead vocalist in the band Victors. Online, I think we've got about 9 or 10 songs.
But these days, getting noticed in the music industry increasingly means one thing: getting your songs heard on streaming services like Spotify.
The streaming is so important for us as an upcoming band. On just Spotify alone, we have just over 2.5 million streams.
About 176 million of us pay for music streaming subscriptions. Chris Cook is the managing director for the music industry consultancy CMU Insights.
In the olden days, it was all about hype around release. If you could get a lot of hype around your record coming out, sell lots of records in the first couple of months, the money would then take a while to work its way through the system, but then you banked that money and you moved on with your life. Whereas in the streaming age, even if you do really well when the record is released, the amount of money you're going to make is not enough. And so you need people to keep listening to your music.
I don't want your body, but I hate to think about you with somebody else.
Spotify and others have come in for criticism for paying artists too little, just a fraction of a cent per play. So is it possible to make a living as a recording artist in the streaming age? Verité is a singer and songwriter from Brooklyn.
There's some resistance to this new model of streaming and passive listening and playlisting and all of this. And I think if artists start to embrace it and then strategically navigate around those systems, that they can be more successful.
In London, I'm the BBC's Edwin Lane for Marketplace.
Now, finally, museums in Belgium are fed up with Facebook blocking images of paintings by masters like Rubens, who did a lot of news. Nudes, even. Not news. They're mocking Facebook online with a prudish satirical video, and they've written an open letter signed by over a dozen gallery directors. I'm looking at some of those paintings now, but hey, it's radio. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.